I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Show with Falcons head coach Raheem Morris.
The Coach's Show is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Dave Archer.
Welcome back to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Dave Archer, Atlanta Falcon Radio Network, and I'm with our head football coach, Raheem Morris. And we did not get to the result we were looking for on Sunday night as the Chiefs came in and got out of here with a 22-17 hard-fought, close win for the Chiefs. Falcons right there on the doorstep, didn't quite get to finish the job. But I'm here with our head football coach. Raheem, I know you had a chance to study the tape probably more than you want to. As you looked at the tape, I know there was a lot of positive stuff. Tell me about some of that stuff that you liked and you saw the tape.
You know, when you look at it and you get a chance to watch those guys come out on offense, get the ball, go right down the field and score, execute some of the things that we talked about during the week and be able to go out there and really get down the field, get us up to a 7-0 lead. I thought that was absolutely outstanding from an offensive standpoint. Wasn't able to maintain it throughout the game, but we got those things going off the right way to give our defense a chance to keep us in the game throughout the process. And then you watch defense and you watch those guys fly around and absolutely get a couple of chances at the ball, hit the quarterback without getting the sacks, really kind of get them flushed a little bit and hold them under their explosive plays that they used to get, and particularly when he scrambles around, being able to plaster down the field and cover those guys, I thought was awesome. And the special teams really being able to go out there and cover on some of the kickoffs and the punts like they were able to do versus Mecole Hardman, really getting them on the ground, I thought was great.
Boy, really came out executing in that opening drive as you just talked about. And, I mean, there's a number of things to talk about. The play action, you come out immediately with some boot action, get some play action going. How important was it to kind of establish a different launch point for Kirk in this game, because you knew how good these guys were rushing the passer?
You know, these guys, they want to tee off on you when you get to the drop back game. We didn't want to allow that to go right away. So to be able to move them out of the pocket, to get different launch points for the quarterback, to be able to show some of those different things in order to get some of our run game going that we didn't get going early enough, at least, was some of the things we want to get done. But you got to go out there and give those guys credit. But our guys came out with the willingness and the readiness to go, and we got to figure out a way to get that stuff executed a little bit better.
Do you guys, is that something you guys will script? Are we still doing that nowadays, or is it more down and distance script?
Not necessarily as much as a script. You got a couple feel for the things you want to go out there and do, but there's definitely a down and distance script. There's definitely plays you like in those situations. There's definitely plays you want to get to, you know, but ultimately to get to those plays, you got to go out there and establish the run to be able to stay on course, stay on schedule, and our backs got to give us a chance to stay on schedule. And we were not able to get that done well enough last night to our liking.
Well, the last ball that Kirk threw against the Philadelphia Eagles was to Drake London for a touchdown, and the next pass Drake London caught was a touchdown pass. Tell me about that play and the show of the screen with Bijan outside, Drake in the slot. They completely blew the coverage, and Drake comes open.
It was awesome, man. We came out there, did our little, you know, little screen and go. Well executed by those two players, really selling it by Bijan, really the subtle fake block by Drake to get up the field, get vertical, got the two players to commit, and we were able to drop one over his head and for a nice touchdown, for a nice celebration for us. It was really well done by our guys, really well executed by our coaches. Nice job of calling it, great timing. Everything came into play right there.
One of the more difficult offenses to try to defend. Obviously, that's why they're Super Bowl champs, and you've got a quarterback that's being arguably, no argument, the best quarterback in the league. Certainly, you talked about that coming into this game, but is going to be one of the best of all time. You were able to limit, you talked about big plays. Was that the kind of the plan, Rod? It would keep them kind of in front of you a little bit and run and tackle and force them into third down situations?
Well, the problem with Patrick is he extends plays so well. So when you cover him, it's not just covering the first down, is covering the second play, the second part of that play. And when the second part of that play started, I thought our guys did a nice job of really running around, staying with their guys in order to not allow the big plays down the field that he's able to make that we've seen, the wow factor plays. So when you do get in zones and he takes some, he was taking some of the stuff that you were giving him, you got to tackle well. Sometimes we did, sometimes we didn't. And one of the corrections that we want to have is some of those early down tackles with him throwing a ball out to some of the perimeter players and really getting those guys on the ground faster.
How do you work on that? Because you can't hit in practice. You don't want to hurt your own guys. So how do you work on something out in practice?
It's really about eyes, hands, using your hands, shedding blocks and making those plays, getting them on the ground, really focusing on the wrap, really talking about it, how you want to have the intent, getting up with the body part when you get these guys on the ground. You know, all the little coaching points that you can go through the process with it. Now, you got to give some of those guys credit. Rice is a very good, elusive player in the open grass, and he's one of the guys that made us miss the most when those things happen on the perimeter. But he's still a guy you got to get on the ground. We got good players. They got good players. We'll get them on the ground.
Justin Simmons is a guy that came in most interceptions by a guy since 2016 when he came in as a rookie. He's had 30 interceptions. He got his 31st in that early part of the football game as he was able to spy. And for whatever reason, he's owned Patrick Mahomes when it says taking care of these. He's got more interceptions against Patrick Mahomes than anybody in the game.
Well, you know, he played in the division with him, so he played him a little bit more than most.
Yeah.
And he's had the ability to go out there and get the ball back. And he is a ball hawk, a very smart football player. Glad to have him. He played with great vision on that play. He's seen the ball come out the quarterback's hands, and he's able to go over there and get it and really nail that drive and stop that drive and end it, man, which was outstanding.
So much conversation is about Kirk and him being comfortable and the blend with the wide receivers. Raheem, how much is that going on with your two safeties and those guys in the back end playing with one another and kind of trusting one guy's going to be where he's going to be? They're all pros, but still they got to play together a little bit, don't they?
You know, it's really fun to just watch those guys because how smart they were, how articulate they are when they talk to each other, and some of the things they're able to communicate with each other is really good. But the thing that I'm seeing now is how it goes from those guys to the other players. When you're talking about going to A.J. Terrell, you're talking about going to Richie Grant, who plays with those guys at times, going to Alfred, that plays in the nickel and star position, going to our linebackers, communication about all of it. Like, when you're talking about eliminating big plays, particularly from a guy like Patrick Mahomes, those two guys become particularly important.
All right, let's talk about some of the things that you didn't necessarily love. And there's always things to correct. I know, having been a player, coaches are never completely satisfied with what they see. So as you look at some of the things and you're going to critique, where are some areas? Obviously not going to give game plan away because the Saints are coming up next week. But give us an idea of some areas that you'd really like to get after and tweak. You talked about the tackling was one of them.
Yeah, on defense it was the tackling, particularly on the perimeter when it comes to those screens, some of those things. On offense, we definitely want to be able to run the ball so we can control it and have the ball basically win the time of possession battle, right? That gives you a chance to even out a little bit more. That gives you a chance to get more possessions on offense, you're able to run the ball and stay efficient. We want to be able to do some of those things. And then overall, we want to get better at our situational football, right? At the end, that last play in fourth down and one, third down and one, we got to win that situation. And then obviously, we mentioned it last night a little bit, but our third down production has to get better, right? And how you do that, you become more efficient with your run game, you get shorter third downs, you're able to commit those things, you're able to win those things, particularly in a short yard situation.
Yeah, and it looked like when Caleb McGarry, the big Viking as you call him, went down with what it was apparently a leg injury, and then Drew goes down not very much longer after that. All of a sudden, you got two offensive linemen out of the football game, got two guys coming in. You told me last night, hey, nobody cares. And really, they should care that they get in the game. The Newsle comes in, Storm Norton comes in. So tell me about that. How did you feel that those guys adjusted to the speed of the game, having stood on the sidelines there for the first half?
You know, I got a lot of confidence in those guys. I got a lot of confidence in Storm in particular. You know, he played a lot of football for us last year. Played a lot of football for the Atlanta Falcons. You know, he's a vet. He goes in. He knows exactly what to do. He knows how to do it. Got a lot of confidence in Newsle. Got a chance to see him in the preseason a little bit, work with him a little bit since I've been here. He's got great control of what we do and how we want to do it. And then obviously it's going to be a phase of just easing yourself in. Like, one point we got a little offsides with those guys because the snap was a little bit late. Storm went off. You got to hear Kirk's voice, you got to be able to do all those different things. But I got so much confidence in those guys that I know they'll figure it out. I know we'll get better. They're conscientious guys, they coach well. They'll do the right things.
It certainly looked like that Kirk did a pretty good job of understanding, okay, they've kind of changed their tenor a little bit in the game because Spags started coming after you pretty hard. That's kind of his idea anyway. Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, started coming after Kirk pretty hard. But Kirk, I thought, did a really good job pre-snap of finding maybe throws that he was going to get as soon as he got the football in his hand.
You know, we had times where we knew that he would give us a couple junked up looks.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spags is he's going to confuse some looks and do some different things, but we had some built-in hots that we had Kirk to be able to go to. We had some situations we just wanted to be decisive. We were in some situations, and some situations we can be better at, but I was really pleased with those guys' ability to be able to talk about it and communicate it to us. Now we got to go out and execute it a little bit better.
Another area, Raheem, that I was really encouraged by, and I know that this isn't the first time he's done it, but the way Bijan Robinson stepped up and took on blitzing linebackers, in fact, key block that allowed the big throw to Pitts early on. But talk about his ability. I mean, there's the flash of him running and catching the football and that dynamic weapon, but he's a hard-nosed guy.
You're talking about third down and some of his pickups, man. He's not the reason, right? He's putting his face on people. He's stepping up in there. He's really playing tough. He's playing physical. You know, he's one of, like you just mentioned, he was the guy that was able to step up in the hole and take on a blitzer to allow us to get an extra click to get that thing out the pits, to get a 50-yard explosive down the field, and then you get a chance to see these guys going. And that is key and critical. And he's done it 2 weeks in a row, back-to-back. I'm really proud of him. You know, that's not something that was necessarily his forte, but for him to be able to do that when his time is required, I really appreciate that.
So we got the Saints coming up. We'll talk a little bit about them in our second segment here, but copycat league, Raheem, and teams are going to see, okay, we were able to hit the quarterback. I think I wrote down Cousins got hit 10 times in the game, sacked twice, and they had 8 tackles for loss. Those numbers are more than the combined first two games you played. So Saints see that, some copycat stuff potentially there. How do you keep them from keeping Bijan in the backfield? You'd like to get him out in the pattern and not have him blocking. How do you do that?
You know, you got to run the ball, you know. And if you can run the ball versus those looks that they were loading up the box like that, that really gives those guys, they got to back up, right? And if you can do those things and you get to your scat protections and do some of those different things to get the ball out of our hand, those are some of the things that we'll be able to capable to do this week and we'll be able to do coming up, because you know everybody's going to try it. You know, you got to figure out a way to stop Algier and Bijan. There's no secret there. And then you got to figure out a way to hit Kurt, right? These guys got to him, I believe, 10 times on a couple hits and 2 sacks. We were able to get to Patrick 8, and we got to figure out a way to get to their guy more and let him not get to our guy less.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk to our head football coach about the second half and some of the decisions he decided to go with in the second half that gave them an opportunity to win the football game. Didn't turn out that way, but they gave themselves an opportunity to win. We'll come back and talk to Raheem about that. We'll also take a little quick look at the New Orleans Saints right here on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Atlanta Falcon Radio Network, and visiting about the game on Sunday night. The theater was amazing, Raheem, and I know you guys had things to do and work to take care of, but Mr. Blank goes into the Ring of Honor, and I should have asked you maybe that early on, but tell me a little bit about that. You've got a special relationship with the owner of the Atlanta Falcons, the chairman of the Atlanta Falcons. You have had for quite a while. Tell me about your thoughts about him going into the Ring of Honor and just celebrating him and what he's been to the city.
You know, I think it was awesome. I'm actually glad you didn't mention it earlier, because I know he wouldn't say this, but we wanted to win that game for him. We wanted to win that game so he can go in, go home at night with a great smile on his face, knowing he's going to the Ring of Honor, because, you know, he's done a lot for this city. He's done a lot for us personally. He's done a lot for us professionally. And the relationship that we all have with him, not just myself, but that we're able to have with him because of how open he is, how much a people person he is absolutely outstanding. And we appreciate that.
Yeah, I think all of us that have a chance to be a part of this organization understands what a cherished man that person is in Mr. Blank. So appreciate your thoughts there. All right, let's shift gears to the second half. Some things began to start to take place, take shape. Your defense really begins to buckle down in the second half. Not that they didn't buckle down in the first half. I think you limited them some, but a number of three and outs and really forced field goals. Tell me about that and being able to get off the field on third down.
Yeah, the great part about what happened in the second half is we tackled better, right? The immediate corrections for our defense to be able to come out and tackle better on some of those early downs to make those guys get into some longer yard situations, I thought was absolutely outstanding. That's when our pressure started to develop. That's when we got to get off the grass a little bit more. We were able to even that thing out where the time position came back to us, right? Because it was really out of whack for a minute. But to get it back to us gave us a chance down the stretch to win the football game. And it just kept giving us opportunities and kept giving us opportunities and providing it, going out in some short fields, getting some stops after turnover or whatever the case may be. I was pleased with the effort and the strain and the relentless attitude of those guys to go out there and give us a chance.
We talked about this, I think, in week one after the Steeler game, where the discrepancy in time of possession was some 10 minutes. It was, again, the same way in the Philly game. And here you are 3 weeks later, and it's the same again. And I know the byproduct of that is you've talked about, let's get first downs, let's get in better situations to convert, stay on the field on offense. We've got to stop the run game defensively. Are you concerned about that? And has it? You've done a good job of rotating your players, but is that defense starting to get worn down a little bit being on the field?
You know, to say concerned, no. To do what we need to do better, yes. We need to go out there and we need to really convert on third down, and we need to stop them converting on third down on defense, and that will take care of itself. That will take care of some of your play time. That will take care of some of your time of possession. That will take care of a big portion of what we want to get done, and that will keep our offense in the grass if we can get better on third down, which I believe we will, right? You know, we're getting better every week at every situation. We're getting better every week at going out there and doing certain things, and it'll be no different this week. I fully expect us to go out there and get better at what we want to get better at this week.
Well, this is a Saint team that'll come in, and obviously Alvin Kamara will try to run the football on you. It's a scenario that teams have been able to run it a little bit, Raheem, and so tell me about that, and is it simply tackling? Is it simply fitting better against the run? What do you need to do to get this run game curtailed?
You know, it was the one-offs, right? Taking a break on each play, somebody making one mistake, whether it be a second-level player, first-level player, whatever the case may be, we got to eliminate those, right? But if you can eliminate those one-offs, then that gets these people down to 80 yards as opposed to the 128 they were able to get yesterday. If we can eliminate some of those things, before it was a little bit of the quarterback run game that we had, which we know, or we hope Derek Carr doesn't provide, but you definitely got to deal with Alvin Kamara, you definitely got to deal with Taysom Hill, depending on where he's at and some of the stuff that he's able to do. These guys present all kinds of problems because of their offense and the style of offense they're going to play that we're very familiar with the San Francisco type system that he's able to bring there. And we'll go out there and give our best shot.
Your team did a really good job of keeping their poise yesterday, Raheem, and not to surprise, that's who you are as well. But there were some frustrating moments that were out of your control, so to speak. I know you're proud of your team for that. They just kept playing. I mean, is that something you worked on in camp? Is that something you talked to them about? Hey, there's outside forces that are going to do things that we can't control. You got to keep playing.
Yeah, there's things you control and there's things you can't, right? And the things you can't control, you want to have ultimate control and ultimate ownership of those things. The things you can't control, you don't want to waste energy or time, you know, on those things because you can't fix them. You can't correct them. Now, I'll have to deal with that a little bit for those guys, and I want to keep those guys in the poise and in the mind state of going out there trying to win the football game no matter what, and I'll be able to communicate those things clearly and open and honest to the guys that I'm talking to, whether we're talking about referees or we're talking about players, whatever the case may be. I think those are the things you want to be able to do, and your team can remain focused and trying to go out there and get the goals accomplished that you want to get accomplished that day, and we came up a half a yard short.
You got your defense came out and got some stops. So let's advance to right near the end of the game. You got two drives at the end of the game, possess the football, and you talked about it. I think there was a huge discrepancy in plays run. You'd run like 25 or 26 plays on offense, and they'd run over 60 plays. All of a sudden, Kirk and that offense started to get a footing, and the defense provided that because they got Kansas City off the field, and here they come. Talk us through it, the drive that ended at about 4 minutes where you decided to go for it on fourth down. I think you were around the 10-yard line. It was fourth and five, I think, from the 10. There was a call that wasn't made, but we can't talk about that. On third down, and then Kirk misses on fourth down. Just talk to fans through the decision to go there as opposed to – Whatever, kick a field goal or whatever.
You know, when you're going down, man, we're being aggressive at this point, and we're already talking about it at this point. So we're going down, we're driving, we're in position. We had just kicked three, I believe. That made it a certain point. So we're already talking about scoring and going for two, taking a three-point lead, really getting back on the field, getting the ball back for our offense, putting us in four-minute offense potentially, you know, and we go for it. We're going to be aggressive. We're at home, right? We're playing the defending champs. You're playing the Chiefs. You got Patrick Mahomes over there. We didn't come here to tie, you know. We didn't come here to have a close game to get a more victory. We came here to win, and we want our fans to know that too. Like, we're going to be aggressive in those situations when it calls for it, and we felt and we believed in our heart it called for it. Our offense was just starting to get rolling. We were starting to move down the field. We're at the 10-yard line. We gained a lot of confidence. We got a lot of red zone plays that we love. We got to execute them, and we got to go play. And the things that we can't control, we can't worry about.
Yeah, no question about it. And there was a couple of those. So we go to the last drive, and again, let's reiterate what Coach Raheem just said, is Patrick Mahomes is on the other side. So kicking field goals and tying the game or getting ahead by one really hasn't worked out for most people in this league against that group. So go score a touchdown when you get an opportunity. Okay, get the ball back. Defense comes out, stops Kansas City again. Huge stop. Tell me about that and going out and getting that stop, how important that was, because they took over with 4 minutes left.
It was the same type of deal almost as the week before. You know, we come out and we get a big stop, big three and out, get the ball back for our guys. We still got our timeouts that we want to be able to use for offense, and we are ready to roll, man. And those guys come up the field, provide that big-time juice for us. They get a punt. I believe it was the holding punt as well. I'm not sure that they picked up. And we have a chance to flip the field, and we get the ball back for our offense and have a chance to go drive it for what we're hoping could be with a winning drive and really replay the scenario from a week ago that we had pulled off on Monday Night Football. But we came up short. But I can't tell you that I'm not proud of these guys for their efforts and what they put into this thing, you know, other than our 3rd-and-1 and our 4th-and-1 that we want back.
Well, we all want it back, and what you got to live and learn, and you move on, and you get ready for the next one. That's the beauty of this game. You get another one the next week, and here come the New Orleans Saints. And so that's where I want to go with you, Raheem, to New Orleans. I know you got a little thumbnail of those guys, or a division opponent. Let's just talk about that first of all. The division, how much does that shift gears from magnifying? You've talked about you got to go win the NFC South. You got to get through New Orleans, got to get through Tampa, and got to get through Carolina. Here they come, 1-2-3. So talk about that.
There's only one way to win the NFC South, and it's to beat the NFC South teams, right? So, like, when his division opponents come in here, we got to be ready to deal, and it's one team at a time. And right now it's New Orleans, and they are rolling. They were rolling early. They got a loss this week. And the beauty about all of that stuff is that you have the pen in your hand, and you can write your own script. So for us to go out here and play against a division opponent at our place is something that we look forward to doing. And they have always been tough. They will always be tough. They're well coached by Dennis Allen. They got a bunch of great players on both sides of the ball that I got a lot of respect for. But I like my team, and I want to go out there and compete.
Do you allow yourself to marvel at what the league is, Raheem? I mean, this week in particular, you had Dallas get rolled by New Orleans the week before. You guys go into Philly and beat them on Monday night. Philly goes to New Orleans and beats New Orleans and really shuts them down offensively. You had the Rams scenario. Rams come back and beat the 49ers. I mean, Baltimore has to hang on against the Cowboys. Do you marvel every week or just thankful that you're a part of this thing?
It is absolutely the only way to describe it for the fans is it is the best thing to be a part of in your life, right? You'll never get these kind of challenges. You'll never get these kind of opportunities to be at the highest competitive mode and love it, right? And you got to embrace it, right? You cannot fear failure. You got to go out there and you got to embrace it. And you got to have your team with the right mindset to go out there and win every single week. And it's our job this week to get them ready to go against New Orleans.
All right, last thing for you. New Orleans comes in. They are coming into your building. You've lost two in your building. I know how important it is for you to win down here. How important is it to get a foothold and start establishing that place down there that nobody wants to come play?
You know, particularly versus a division opponent. You know, it's time to go, and it's time to get in there and find a way to get a win, and it's find a way to get in there and reward those fans who've been doing a great job for us, because without those guys, they provide energy, they provide a spark, and we got to give them something to cheer about.
Get in the stadium. The Benz this weekend. Here come the New Orleans Saints and the Falcons. Great rivalry. And Raheem Morris will have his team ready to roll this Sunday. Thanks to Raheem Morris here on the Coaches Show. Coming up next, our player spotlight, Big Jake Matthews. 164 consecutive games. We'll talk to Big Jake coming up next.
It's time for the player of the game on the Coach's Show. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back to Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. This is our player spotlight on the Coach's Show, and we've got the big fella, Jake Matthews, a guy that's played 164 consecutive games. That's a tough one for me to even get my head around, Jake. Can you fathom that, 164 straight?
It is tough to fathom, but when your dad's a Pro Football Hall of Famer who's, I think, his is 250 straight, none of your achievements seem as grand. But, it's been amazing how fast it's gone by, and 11th year now, and body's holding up great and just trying to keep it rolling.
Yeah, it's incredible to think that 164 consecutive games. First-round draft pick way back in 2014, unanimous All-American coming out of Texas A&M. Do you reflect back on your college days at all? Do you still follow the Aggies and everything that they've got going on?
Well, we've always had a brother or someone there playing, and for the last few years there hasn't been anyone. So I'd be lying to you if I tell you I'm watching as intently as I always had. But definitely A&M has a special place in my heart. I was inducted into their Hall of Fame last year, so that was a cool deal. My wife and son got to go speak on my behalf because we were playing the Packers the next day. But it's so surreal because, you know, it doesn't feel that long ago that I was there playing, and now I'm the old guy on the team. But still loving it and just excited to keep doing this for as long as I can.
And now all of a sudden the Longhorns are going to come back to College Station and all that kind of stuff. What's that mean? I mean, that's one of the all-time great rivalries.
It is, without question. A&M's fight song is based on beating UT. So that's exciting, and especially I got to play them twice. I spent my first 2 years, we were in the Big 12, second two were the first years in the SEC for A&M, and unfortunately we lost the last meeting in 2011 at the very end of the game. So looking forward to that. It was always great, the Thanksgiving rivalry matchup, and I think this one is in College Station, You know, I know that fan base is going to be ready to go.
They'll be jacked up, no question about it, as A&M and Texas renew that great rivalry between those two teams. Now, I got to dive into some of the game. The fans will kill me here if we just talk, and I'd love to just sit here and chat. And we'll talk about what Jake's got going on family-wise and you know, maybe do some comparisons with the two running backs he's blocking for now and the two running backs he was blocking for in the early part of his career, two guys like Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman that were guys that could really go get it. We'll ask him a little bit about that. But, Jake, let's dive into the game a little bit, let's talk about the season a little bit. Not necessarily, you obviously want to win them all. You've had three really good teams. Pittsburgh's 3-0 now. You've got a Philly team that just went into New Orleans and smacked them around in their own building. And then Kansas City, the defending Super Bowl champs. And now here come your arch rivals in New Orleans. The start of the season, difficult one. How do you feel like your team is? Where are they at right now?
I think we've grown a lot. Obviously, you know, starting 1-2, we'd love to be 3-0. We had opportunities in all those games to win, only found a way to do it in one of them. And like you said, three really good opponents. I think Pittsburgh's defense is one of the best in the league. Then going into Philly on Monday night and, a team that's just recently was in the Super Bowl. And then, last night, unfortunately, not finding a way to get it done at the very end against, two-time back-to-back Super Bowl champs. But what I take from it is we've grown a lot, and I think there's a confidence that, hey, we can compete with and we can beat anyone. And now it's just about finding those, fine-tuning those little things that have tripped us up in the end and getting them done. And, we make, one or two different plays here or there at the end of that game. In particular, we're sitting here having a different conversation right now, and and that's the beauty of this game and how tough it is. You're playing against the best guys in the world, and it's a razor thin margin of error. So we'll learn from it. I got all the confidence in the world in our team, and find a way to bounce back.
Yeah, I drifted back memory wise to 2019, late in that football game. I believe you got a key block to free Julio Jones. And was that 2019 against the Eagles? What year was that on Sunday Night Football? Was that Sunday night? That was the last time we were on Sunday night, I believe.
Yeah, no, pretty good memory. Yeah, they were bringing all out pressure, and checked to a quick screen and was able to get out there and wallop a guy, and Julio ran in right behind me. So that was an awesome game, awesome way to get a win for an offensive lineman.
no question. Out there in space like that and be able to get a good block like that and free Julio Jones to get him in the end zone for the game winner. That was the walk-off game winner for the Falcons that night. I want to dive into some of the personal stuff here. You've got a young son that was born, are we 2 years in now?
He'll be 2 November 10th.
Two November 10th, and it was a great story. I mean, the birth week or birthday was right on the Carolina game, almost right on top of the Carolina game 2 years ago. Beckett, is that right? Beckett's his name? Now, how'd you come up with the name Beckett?
We just liked it. Yeah. Looking through lists and... Yeah, little Beck. He's a good boy. He's a lot of fun.
I love it. I got a chance to see him last night. I saw Maggie was there last night as well. Now she's pregnant, and you're close. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we probably should plan a little better. We keep having kids during the season. But, no, she's looking great. Scheduled to be induced this week, so... We're fairly certain it won't be another game day baby, but we've got a girl on the way this time, which we're extremely excited about, very blessed, and she's looking really healthy. Maggie's doing great, and just excited to be a dad again, add another kid to the family. And it's funny, I look back, I came out here as a young single man, now I'm a grizzly old vet, married with two kids, and just want to keep heading that direction even more, maybe add a few more in the future.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, that's awesome. Have you picked out a name for the young lady?
Yep, she's going to go by Gracie Ann Matthews.
Wow, so, that's awesome.
Yeah. Gracie Ann Matthews, going to join Beckett in the Matthews family with Maggie the mom and Big Jake the dad. I'm sure Bruce and everybody is excited about what's coming and another grandchild in the family. I want to ask you, we talked a little bit about, I kind of teed it up there a little bit, running backs, and I got to reflecting back. You've blocked for some pretty good players, and you guys have been pretty good on the ground. I go back to Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, those two guys, I think team for some 2,500 yards in your guys' run to the Super Bowl that year. How would you compare Bijan and Tyler Algier to those two guys?
Very similar. I mean, that run, that Super Bowl year with those two guys, they were both studs with Devontae and Tevin. And they really complemented each other really well. And I see the same thing with Bijan and Tyler, you know. Another thing, all four of those guys, just tremendous teammates and guys you want to block for and do well for. So, you know, we just with the talent and – especially speaking in the present with, you know, Tyler and Bijan, those guys are going to make us look good. So we got to go out there and get them out in space and allow them to run downhill and get one-on-one matchups in the secondary. But, couldn't be more proud or excited to block for them, and just two great teammates. Can't speak any more highly of them.
There's so much conversation of whenever you get backs like that where they want to make them different, you know, thunder and lightning, if you will. And there's certainly an element to that with Bijan and Tyler, but they are very similar too, are they not? I mean, there's a lot of short area quickness. They both have power. They're willing to block. They're, like you said, good teammates.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part right there with the willingness to block. Both those guys, they'll never complain about that. And that's rare, and that's something you can really appreciate in a teammate, especially in a position like that. Tyler, man, his ability to get downhill and the also the speed and quickness, which, you know, is comparable with Bijan. And Bijan, you might think, is just a guy who just wants to get in space and juke and stuff. But, man, he is a physical running back. And in protection, too, I'm sure people have seen. He'll chip defensive ends or get in there and block. And he's de-cleaning guys. So just a tremendous player. Very happy to block for him, despite him going to the University of Texas.
that's gonna be a tough one for you. A Longhorn, you got to block for a Longhorn. I want to ask you about the quarterbacks, and you played for what I think is a Hall of Fame player in Matt Ryan, and what Matt Ryan was able to do. You helped provide the opportunity for him to accumulate some of the numbers and the things he did in his career. Here comes Kirk Cousins, very similar guy. I mean, give me a comparison of those two guys.
Both tremendous leaders and both guys that you could count on when, you know, game day came around. They have done their homework and they're going to be on top of the game plan. And just guys you can be very confident in being back there and leading the huddle. But really, man, it's hard to even think of anything. You can't think of anything negative about both of them. And I just really have enjoyed the short time I've had so far with Kirk. And obviously, blocked for Matt for, 7 years. And just both tremendous guys. And Matt, who I agree is a Hall of Famer as well. And, you know, we're looking forward to building on, you know, the rest of the season, what we can do with Kirk. And I expect us to win and get, you know, more of that stuff that we had back in the day with Matt as well.
Yeah, you guys got an opportunity to get that done, I think. This is a talented football team. Last thing for you, Jake, before we let you get out, get you back to your family. You got to get back there and take care of things for the family. So I want to ask you about New Orleans coming in. You've played a lot of games against New Orleans in your career. What's that tenor like? I mean, they've got some players that you've been playing against since you've been in the league, and they're still going to be there, and they're saying, oh, God, I got to go. It's great. Jake Matthews this weekend, you're probably saying some of the same things. So tell me about the matchup with New Orleans.
Yeah, I think the fan base and everyone knows that this rivalry and everything it stands for, it's about physicality. It's going to be a tough game. They have consistently, my entire career, been a team that has a great D-line and a stout defense, and that certainly hasn't changed. So they'll be coming here, and we're hungry, looking to bounce back after yesterday, and, you know, just looking forward to getting this game plan together. And, you know, I think if we you know, work hard and stick to what we've been doing, we'll go out there and have success, and we can wear them down. But it's definitely going to be a challenge. And they started really hot this season. And obviously Philly just won in there last week and was able to get a win. But, you know, they're going to be ready to go as well. So we got to be prepared.
No one's played in more consecutive games as an Atlanta Falcon than Jake Matthews. He'll line up for his 165th consecutive game on Sunday at the Benz. Get down there, watch it, celebrate it, and help cheer him on to a victory over the hated Saints as they come in this weekend. Jake, appreciate you, man. Good luck with the birth this weekend. We're excited for you, and thanks for the time.
Thank you.
There he is, Big Jake Matthews. Appreciate it. More to follow right here on the home of the Falcons.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.